Thank the Lord for another day that He's given to us. If you would, let's open up our Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We'll have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we do thank You. We give You praise for another opportunity to be in the house of God. Lord, Brother Burt made a comment about in Psalms, let us enter into the house with joyful thanksgiving. The Lord, to give You praise and glory and honor, dear Heavenly Father, for another day of life, for our salvation, dear Heavenly Father. The Lord, for a hope within our soul. Dear Heavenly Father, Jesus said, in My Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for You. And if I go to prepare a place for You, I'll come again and receive You. Dear Heavenly Father, we have a great hope, dear Lord. And we sang a song this morning about mansions and streets of gold. And dear Heavenly Father, we know that people put words in the songs. And Lord, as saints of God, we're not truly looking for mansions or streets of gold or gates of pearl or those things. We want to see Jesus Christ, dear Heavenly Father. But dear Lord, we know there's a greater blessing awaiting us over the other side. And dear Heavenly Father, that encourages us, dear Heavenly Father, to press the battle on, to, dear Lord, dig deeper into the things of God. Heavenly Father, You said that You desire for us to be faithful. Dear Lord, You'd rather us to be obedient to the word than the sacrifice, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we want to hear the word. We want to, as we talked this morning, receive it, dear Heavenly Father. We want to apply it to our hearts and our mind and enjoy it and live it throughout our lives, dear Heavenly Father. So Lord, we're thankful for all that You've done for us. We ask You to be with us again tonight. Dear Lord, as we look into the word of God one more time, Heavenly Father, we ask You to anoint me. Anoint me that I'll bring the word just as You would have us to. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. In the 2 Corinthians chapter 4, we're going to pick up here in verse 16. He says, "For which cause we faint not, but though the outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day." Paul says, "For our light afflictions, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." I like to talk about eternal things. I like to talk about heavenly things, spiritual things. Things that as Jesus brought parables about and witnesses to His saints. Paul made a comment, and as I mentioned that as I started to read it there in verse 16, I thought, Lord, help us. He said there in verse 16, or verse 17, he says, "For our light afflictions." And he says it's just for a moment. And the Bible says our life is just as a vapor. It's here for a little while and it vanishes away. And as we've lived for a period of time, we know how quickly time goes. And I remember Brother Davis used to make comment as when in the last of his years, he goes, "I know one thing, I'm not going to live nowhere the length I've lived up to this time." He goes, "Most of my days are behind me." He goes, "The shorter days are ahead of me." And each and every one of us feel that same way. And we know that when our day is time to come, we know that this life could just be just a short time. It's just a period of a short time. He says, "Our light afflictions for just a moment worketh a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." But I want to look at verse 18 tonight and take our thoughts out of it. And Paul says here, "While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal." Paul is making a statement here. He's not necessarily asking a question. And the title that I put on the thoughts here for this evening, "Are we looking at things unseen? Are we looking at spiritual things? Are we trying to look beyond what the eyes, the physical eyes?" We sang a song tonight, "By Faith and Not by Sight." And I like that song as it goes through there. It's a lot of thoughts there. It's on page 328 there. And all, I think it's four or five verses of scriptures there. And or four or five verses there. And he says, the last of each and every verse and in the chorus there, he says, "By faith and not by sight," he says that four different times. that we live by God, for God through faith and not by sight. But in the very fifth verse, he goes, as soon I shall hasten the Lord to meet, and in his likeness I shall stand complete. Wherewith the ransom in heaven's light. Thank God he doesn't say it by faith again. He says, my faith shall be lost. We won't need faith then. We won't need faith when we stand before the very presence of God. The Bible lets us sing a song one time. I won't need the Word of God. I won't need the songbooks. I won't need the things that we need on a daily basis to help us to stay a Christian here in this world. By the grace of God, when we stand before Christ, our faith shall be lost in the sight of Jesus Christ. And Paul's indicating that to us. He's trying to help us to see, I hope, I trust that you're looking at things spiritual. I know we don't go around every day looking at things spiritual. We don't meditate on that. We don't dwell on all the time. But I trust that from time to time, and there should be a more frequent time, that we spend time with spiritual things, with a spiritual mindset, a spiritual thought. And we need to sometimes get alone by ourselves to do that. There need to be some times, and I've always mentioned sometimes it doesn't necessarily mean you need to get into a small room or quiet or whatever. There is things I can do in life that doesn't take any effort. That I've mentioned cutting grass. There's been many times I've cut grass for years and just thought on things of God because that noise blocks out everything around me. Some of you sisters could clean and do dishes, whatever work, whatever you can do that doesn't take really any thought effort. You're just doing it. We can think on things of God. But Paul says that. He makes a statement here, not to look on things. He said, don't look on things that are temporal, but look on things that are eternal. He says here not to look, not to dwell, not to focus on these things, but the things that are eternal. I already mentioned, jumped ahead of myself, as he said there in verse 16. He says, we faint. No, I meant 17. For verse 16, he says, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. I thank God for that promise. You know, I've mentioned to you a lot of here and lately, as I've gotten older, my body hurts. My body can't do nothing like it used to do. I brought Wednesday night message. We talked about growing old gracefully. And one of the things I brought about is in the age, as we start to get age, know our limitations of things. Yeah. Know that, you know, where was I? Not too awful long ago. I don't know where I was. But I used to jump a fence. I used to put one hand on the fence and jump over that fence. There was somewhere I thought about, well, just put one leg up, jump up. And I looked at that tree. I said, no, nah, I'm just going to go around. My neighbor and them, they had they had rented out a skate land. And just for their party, their little girl's party. And they invited Dougie and the kids and all that. We were going to go and watch the kids skate, and somebody asked me this, and I used to skate, I was good at it, and they said, you're going to skate? I said, I thought about it. I said, but I haven't been on roller skates in probably 30 years, and I don't think now's a good time to even try that out. But our bodies start to hurt. And I think I said, Lord, I believe you did that for mankind to help them to realize, you know, I want something better. And there is something better in the spiritual things that God has for us. A better body. He says not to faint, not to ever, even through everything that we see. You know, we can look around, our world is getting worse and worse. Crime is getting worse, sin is getting worse. Things that we can see, things that we can touch, experience. All these things are going to perish one day. Everything that we see, everything that is here is going to fade and perish. When the Lord comes, he says he'll destroy everything with a fervent heat. Everything will melt. And there is not one thing. I was talking to somebody the other day. We will not take one dime with us when we leave. We will not take a pair of clothes, a pair of shoes. There is not one thing. When this body leaves this earth, the Bible says, naked I came into the world, and naked shall I return. There is not one thing that we take. And so many people rely on so much things, temporal things of this world, instead of the spiritual things. The Lord tells us we need to know these things as far as temporal things. He lets us also know that over in heaven, and as I've mentioned many times and even the last several weeks, help us, Lord, to meditate on spiritual things. He lets us know that we won't know each other as husbands and wives. The disciples asked him one time, because if my brother has a wife and he dies, and I guess it was custom back then, and the next brother took care of her until he died, and if that died in seven of them or whatever, whose wife will she be? There won't be a husband and wives in heaven. My sister and I won't know each other as brothers and sisters anymore. I trust and believe we'll know one another. As Sister Ann mentioned today, what a wonderful joy it is to get to meet saints we haven't seen and to communicate. I think what a blessing that would be. To be able to know one another, talk to one another. When the rich man died, he says he lifted up his eyes in hell and he's seen someone. He's seen two people, he mentioned. He says, I see Lazarus. And he says, he had communion with Abraham. So he knew these ones. I believe we'll know one another. But we won't know each other as our family members or husbands and wives. He says, we're not going to faint. Help us, Lord, that we faint not. Why? Because of our focus. He goes on to verse 16. He says, for which cause we faint not. And why? Because of verse 18. For we look not at the things which are seen. I often wonder how people today go day to day without being distraught. There's just sin everywhere. There's trouble everywhere. The school systems are a wreck. Our political fields are a wreck. Everything seems to be in a disaster, a sinful nature. And he says there, for which cause we faint not. And why is that? Because of what the things we look at. Not to look at things that are temporal. Not to look at the political world. Not to look at the financial world. Not to look at the things that are going on in the sinful world. But to look on spiritual things. To dwell on spiritual things. Well, why we not look at things seen, but things which are not seen? For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Thank God we can have a vision of the kingdom of God. Yeah. Not of man. I don't have a vision of anything man's done. I don't have a vision of necessarily our church, this building, of a pastor or a people or things. But do we have a vision of the kingdom of God? Has God, and I'll bring this out a little bit more deeper here as we go on, has God given you a vision of the church of God? You know, if I can ask some people, and you may ask different ones, and you may ask somebody, what is the name of, what would be a good name of God's church? And all across the land, people have came up with all kinds of names. I mean, they've got names from A to Z. Thousands upon thousands upon thousands of names. Some of them have named them after some of the disciples, and John and Peter and Andrew, any of them. They've named them after some of the disciples there. Some have named them after people, after popes, all kinds of things. But the Bible tells us there's a name. And you can go into, I'm not going to go into those things, but has God given you an understanding of His church? Paul wrote letters in Corinthians and different other letters anywhere, and he wrote one thing. He goes, to the church of God at Ephesus, to the church of God at Corinth, to the church of God. Here he wrote it to the church of God. I thank God we don't need another name for church. I don't need to come up with some crazy fancy name. Just it's God's church. Jesus Christ bought the church with His own blood. He paid for it. He bought it. He established it. He runs it. He takes care of it. It's His church. He is God in the flesh. It's His church. God's church. Thank God. Has God given you that understanding? I've often reworded it sometimes when I say, sometimes because it's a debate to some people, but I've mentioned, has God given you a vision of the kingdom of God in this world? Thank God He can give you a vision here today. Not of something to come. Not of someone, something out in the future. But He has a church today. Are you letting the enemy burden your soul with what you see? And that answer is probably yes. It does. There's not one of us in here that in one sense
We get burdened by looking out there what we see. Whether it's the news or whether in our local community and our families, we get burdened. God doesn't want us to go somewhere and stay in a home or stay locked up in the four corners of a wall and not associate with people. We go out and we associate with people. And Jesus, I mentioned this verse several times, Jesus said the disciples, he prayed one time for the disciples, Lord, I pray that you don't take them out of the world. Sometimes I would say, Lord, I'd rather leave. Paul said one time, it'd be better, Paul even mentioned that, he said, it'd be better for me to go on and be with thee in heaven than to stay here, but for your benefit, I'll stay here, Paul said. Jesus says, I don't want you to take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. That doesn't mean that they don't associate with them, but they're going to be around them, help their mindset to keep their eyes focused on spiritual things. From time to time, we need to dig out of those things and look at spiritual things because they will drag us down all the time. Ephesians 3 and 20 says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we can think or do according to the power that worketh in us. You know, sometimes we need to encourage ourselves.
Yeah.
Lord, I'm discouraged. Lord, I'm burdened. Lord, there's problems. Lord, this. I need to go to God in prayer. Unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that I can think or ask. I can't even imagine that. I can't even imagine extent to where God's greatness is. According to the power that worketh in us. Let's go to Job chapter 42. In Job chapter 42, picking up in verse 1, now we know the story of Job. Job went through a great battle. And he's came down to the end. This is the last chapter, verse 1. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Wherefore have I uttered that I understand not things too wonderful for me which I knew not? Hear, I beseech thee, and I will speak, and I will demand of thee, and declare unto thou unto me. I have heard thee by thy hearing of the ears, but now mine eyes seeth thee. Job comes to a place in verse 2. He says, I've learned some things. I've known some things. You know how much Job had to dig down spiritually in the time that he was afflicted? We can't even begin to imagine what Job went through. The Bible says that Job was a perfect and upright man, escheweth evil. And the Lord allowed the enemy of the soul to attack everything that Job had. And within just a very short period of time, you go back there and read the first or second verse there, or chapter there, and when a man come up, and I don't remember all the details of what it is, a man comes up and tells him that the cattle, I believe, were killed. He hasn't even, the Bible says that man wasn't even finished speaking. Another one comes up and says his family was killed. His crops, all these things, everything was taken away from him. And the Bible says God, or he kept God first in his life. Well, the enemy comes back to the Lord again. He goes, but if you let me touch Job, skin for skin, he'll curse you to his face. So he allowed him to touch Job's body. He allowed him to afflict Job's body, but he couldn't touch his life. Thank God for that, saints. Sometimes we may wish we were going on, as I said, but then he says you can touch his body, but you can't kill him. We need to encourage ourselves that the devil can only go as far as God will let him go. Thank God. A lot of times people, you remember the old thing when we were kids? The devil made me do it. The devil can't make us do anything. He can suggest all he wants, but he can't make us. And you know the devil took and afflicted Job, and then Job's wife turned to him and said, why don't you curse God and die? And he said, you speak as a foolish woman. And Job sat in sackcloth and ashes for a period of time. His friends came in. They started to support him for a while. They helped him. They prayed for him. After a period of time, they started to question him. Job, there's something else must have done in your life. How many of us have not ever read that? And really, we could think that very same thing. And we would think that today. If anybody was afflicted to that degree, we would think there must have been something that person did that was wrong that allowed God to do this. You don't think that didn't affect Job? Job had to find some anchors in his life. He had to go back and set some things in the ground and set some standards in the ground that he had been holding on to all these years and have just trust and faith in God. And he comes down to the end, and Job says there in verse 2, I know some things. I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Help us, Lord. Think on spiritual things. Think on the greatness of God. I can do abundantly above all that you can think or ask. Job says, I've realized that nothing can be hidden or withhold, not even my thought process. I preach sometimes, the Bible says, every idle word will stand account for every idle word. Even our thought process. God says nothing. I can't even think of anything in my mind, and God knows the very details and intent of that thought. How great is God? Thinking on spiritual things. Paul and Job says that. He goes, I know some things now. I thank God that we can have some knowledge. I thank God he can show us some things. He can help us understand some things. Paul said there back in Corinthians where we were, I know what I'm looking at. You know what you're looking at? Are you looking at the news? Are you looking at the internet? Are you looking at the stocks? Are you looking at the gas prices? You're looking at things and letting those things affect you even spiritually. Paul says, I know what I'm looking at. I know where my focus is. I know where my direction is. I know where my desires are. He says, I'm not looking at things that I see. I don't look at things that are around me, the discouraging things, but I'm looking at the things unseen. I'm looking beyond them things. I'm looking at spiritual things, heavenly things. Wonderful things that God can benefit us with. He says here in verse 5, I have heard of thee by thy hearing of thy ear, but now mine eyes see thee. We can hear some things. We can hear the word. We can read the word, but do you go deeper into the word? I've heard thee, but now mine eyes cease. I have an understanding of some things. We mentioned this morning a little bit, and Brother Bert commented a little bit on it. When's the last time you've asked God, help me to go deeper? Help me, Lord, to take the Bible one day and open it up and start reading a verse or two of Scripture. Some of us here that know Brother Frank, he was very famous at that. He, and a lot of times on Wednesdays, he'd read one verse of Scripture through the week, and then he'd get into the dictionary and commentaries and all kinds of different things, and he'd study out one word, and he'd bring some thoughts on it on a Wednesday night. He dug into it. When's the last time we've done that? When's the last time we spent some time? Lord, help me to dig deeper into the things, the spiritual things. It's easy to look at things all around us. It's easy to look at problems here and problems there and problems going on there. But how much do we dig into the spiritual things of God? I've heard some things, but now by the grace of God, I thank God, I can see some things with the spiritual vision. We need to ask God for a deeper spiritual vision from time to time. Paul, one time, when he was traveling, and he was at Mars Hill. And, you know, he went there across the tombs. And he found an altar with the inscription that said, to the unknown God. All kind of markers, all kind of plaques. This God, that God, this church, that church. And he found one marked to the unknown God. He goes, that's the one I'm going to follow. That's the one. Why? Because nobody knows it. I can understand this church because of their process of how they do things. I may be able to be a part of this church because, and I was saying this morning, I was talking to somebody, there are some churches out there, as long as you come to an agreement to do something, you can make an agreement to go to the first Holy Communion as a child, and you're a member of that church forever and a day. You can make an agreement to pay their tithes, and you become a member. You can sign a membership book. You can be just a helper or whatever. All these things are temporal things. But to be in God's church, you have to have some spiritual understanding. You have to have some spiritual depth in your life. And Paul says that that unknown God is the one I serve. What God are we serving this morning, this evening? Do we want to see more of the things of God or the things of the world? Let's go to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, part of the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says here in verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. I thank God one day God revealed the church of God to me. I remember it. I remember when God revealed the church to me. And I testified about it many times. It's not a sort of a usual way, maybe, how he did that. I've been saved for several years, a couple years, at least two, three, maybe. I know at that time I was singing the guitar by myself. When I first started singing, Amelia used to play for me, and I'd play a little bit of the guitar. But by now I'm singing and playing the guitar by myself. But I remember, and I remember just as clear, there again, I was trying to dig in deeper the things of God. And I got a track from Brother Barbara. And it talked, the track's title, I believe the track's title was The Battle of Armageddon. Unusual way that God showed it to me. And I took that track home and I sat down and I started to read it. And as he went through there and he started to talk about the spiritual warfare of the time of the church and all. But one of the things that attracted me to it, to God to help me to see the church, is the ones that suffered great martyrdom in the church back in the times. You can go back over in Hebrews chapter 11, the latter part of that chapter there, it talks about how they suffered tremendously. They put their life, if you don't denounce Jesus Christ, we're going to cut your head off. They cut their head off because they stayed faithful. They had a vision. They had something they were solid on. The Bible says over there in Hebrews, they filleted some of them. They sawed them in half. We say those words and we don't really comprehend, but I seen a picture not too long ago and it talked about that verse there about sawing them in half and how they sawed the saints in half, and it was just a drawing, so to speak, of them doing that. And my mind meditated on that a little bit. See, we say that. I say that word, that phrase, it doesn't really affect us any. But let me tell you what, to have an understanding and the picture how they did it or whatever, the person was hanging upside down and they cut them right clean in half. Because they wanted to serve Jesus Christ. And the Lord helped me to get a vision of how great this church is and how important it should be to me. It should be my life. Jesus says, anyone that would lay his life down for his friend. You know what? I hope we never have to lay our life down physically, but in the natural aspect, we've given our lives up. We've given our lives to Jesus Christ. Lord, you're first in my life. Whatever comes up in my life, you're first in my life. Everything else, my family, my wife, my children, my job, my home, my life, everything comes second in my life to Jesus Christ. Everything. To worship God. Have you had a vision? We sing a song, The Church of God, Thou Spotless Virgin. Church of Christ for whom he died. Thou hast known no human founder, thank the Lord for that. Built by Jesus Christ the Son, tempered by the Holy Spirit, like the Holy Three and One. I thank God there's no human founder to the Church of God. Again, I was telling somebody the other day, we were talking to the same person I've been mentioning all day. The highest calling in his church is a pastor. And he called someone to be a pastor to a local congregation. Not to be a pastor in this congregation, and that congregation, and that to a local congregation. There's no pope. There's no one pastor over a collective of 5 or 6 or 10 or an entire country. One pastor. God is the head. I told one I was when I first became pastor, I went to a camp meeting one time. There was three of us that were very young pastors. And the one brother was just recently a pastor within a year. And we were talking about some things. And I don't remember what we were talking about, but the question came and asked him about something. I don't remember the question. And this was his response back to me. He goes, I would have to ask my pastor. I said, wait a minute. You're a pastor. Is yet? I said, you don't have a pastor. God is your pastor. It's not a problem maybe going and asking for advice or some counsel or some thoughts there, but you don't have a pastor. When you become a pastor, God becomes your pastor. He's the one that you look at. He's the one you dig in and ask for help. Now again, there's nothing wrong with other pastors asking pastors or counsel or whatever. That's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we need to dig down, even as pastors and as saints, we need to dig down for God to show us some things spiritually. He doesn't have anybody that's in the human's part that is ruler over his church. Paul says, look not at the things which we see, but at the things which are not seen. Let's go to Revelation 21. In Revelation chapter 21, I'm going to pick up in verse 1. These are some of my favorite verses here. John says, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. And the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw a holy city, a new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. I stopped there and paused. Do you understand that? This is not a literal bride, not a literal husband. This is the church of God and Jesus Christ. I have heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them, and be their God. Amen. Verse 4 says, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. And there shall be no more death, neither sorrow, nor crying, neither there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. I brought that tonight about that song, Let Me See Jesus Only. I didn't have any thought with that, with this verse of scripture, but I thought as we sang that, and I thought about that last verse, if I be found in Jesus Christ, that day, that second, that moment, I was thinking about the verses, and I know he's talking about when the Lord's come, in the twinkling of an eye, in a split second, by that time our life is called from us, all pain will be wiped away. All tears, all sorrow, nothing will be the same at that day. God shall wipe away all tears. There shall be no more death. Age won't be a factor. Pain won't be a factor. There won't be any more sorrow. The sister related to us about how she felt with her husband. And many of us have been down that road. Periods of time, we have to dig deep in the things of God. I remember when Sister Jerry went through that with Brother Stotler. I remember her testifying. She goes, I looked up every verse I could find that was an encouragement to me of faith, of healing. She says, I just read them and I read them. And I'm trying to encourage her faith. And those things will be gone. There will be no more sorrow, no more crying. Neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. And he that sat upon the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said unto me, write these words are true and faithful. I trust from time to time we have a spiritual vision. I trust from time to time that look into the spiritual world encourages us. Gives us a higher walk. I've said many times, I've gone to so many camp meetings, and I come back and I feel like, Lord, I don't want to go back to work. I don't even want to go to Walmart. I don't want to go to the grocery store. I'm on a spiritual high level and a thing. I don't want to go mix back with the world. There was one time we had a revival here. It was some years ago, many years ago. And I was going through some battles. It was right after Brother Davis first left. And going through some battles and troubles and things. And the pastor that came and held us a revival. And I was just, first two or three nights, I was discouraged. I was just discouraged. And I don't know how far, several nights I went into the services. And I remember going home and I found a place to pray. And I spent time in prayer with God and a real sincere thought. And God just lifted me up and encouraged me. And just the next two or three nights of that, I was on top of the mountain, so to speak, as Sister Ann sings from time to time. Sometimes we're on the mountain. I thank God I was on top of the mountain. And at the end of that revival, I remember that. I remember that time that at the end of that, and God gave me a vision. I was coming off the top of the mountain. I was just off the crest of the mountain, just a few hundred yards. And I looked back at the top of the mountain, and it wasn't on fire, but there was smoke everywhere from a fire. At one time, it was on fire. And I'm like, I want to go back up there. And God, just as clear as a bell to me, just as clear. It was such a blessing to my soul, as clear as a bell. He goes, you stay true and you stay faithful. One day you'll go back to that top of the mountain. You'll never have to leave again. Those are some spiritual things that Paul says. Are we looking at spiritual or are we looking at temporal? See, at the beginning of that revival, I was in the same. I could have said, you know what? I just can't do this no more. But I have a desire to make heaven. I have a vision of the things of God. What are we looking at? We looking at spiritual things or are we looking at temporal things? Are we looking at that goal one day when we make heaven a home?
Yes, amen.
When our bodies leave this old world? And I've said it many times. The reason we got to get a new body is because this body cannot stand to be in the very presence of God. God told Moses that. He says, Moses, you can't see me. No man can see me and live. Our body, this body, cannot be in the very presence of God. And Jesus was on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elias there, and John and James, Peter and John there, and they were there. They fell to their face and hid themselves for the great glory that God had there. And then after it was over and they wanted to build a temple for the three, and God came to them and he said, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased, hear him. They hid themselves again. What a glorious time it'll be one day. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter 47. I'm getting another verse of scripture here to tie this up with it. In Ezekiel chapter 47, I'm not going to read all this. I've read it many times, made comment about it. Verse 3, we'll pick up in verse 3. And when the man had a line in his hand and went out eastward, he measured 1,000 cubits. And he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my ankles. He's talking about the great glory of God. You can go down to verse 1 there, and afterwards you brought me again into the door of the house, and we'll read verse 1 here in verse 47. And behold, the waters issued out from under the threshold in the house eastward, and the forefront of the house stood towards the east, and the waters came down under from the right side and the house of the south side of the altars. So he's talking about the greatness of God, the glory of God. In verse 3 there, he says, and when the man had a line in his hand, and he went out eastward and measured 1,000 cubits, he brought me through the waters, and the waters were to my ankles. How deep do you want to go spiritually? Some people just want to get around the edge. I just want to go to my ankles, where it's safe. You You know, a child, you get them near the water. Just as the water touches their feet, that's about all the further they want to go. And that's all the further they need to go. And you're still holding their hand. As we get older, we may not go too much further either. Maybe to our ankles. Now think spiritually now. But when we're young and we're strong, you know where we want to go? We want to go out there. I want to go out there. I want to go out there where I can swim. Spiritually now. And that doesn't mean because we're old physically, but we never get old spiritually. So no matter what age we are physically, whether it's young or old, by the grace of God, we should always have the intention, I want to go a little more in the things of God. Keep your hand here. I'm going to go over to Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 9. Verse 9 says, he says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on the behalf of them which hearts are perfect towards him. Herein thou shalt, herein thou hast done foolishness. Therefore, from henceforth thou shalt have wars." But the first part of this, he says, "For the Lord runs to and fro through the whole earth to show himself strong in the behalf of those of them whose heart is perfect towards him." Here I am, Lord. I want to go deeper. He said this man ran out of line 1,000, just measured 1,000 cubics. And he brought me to the waters, my waters to the ankles. Verse 4, and again he measured another 1,000 and brought me to the waters, and the waters to my knees, getting a little deeper in the things of God. Measured another 1,000 and brought me to the waters, and they were to my loins. How many people even go that far? And verse 5, and afterward he measured 1,000, and it was a rivers that I could not pass over. And the rivers of and the waters was risen, waters to swim, and the rivers that could not be passed over. God wants us to keep going deeper in the things of God. Yeah. You know, I can remember as a little boy. I can remember as a little boy and my dad and down in the ocean. And if any of you ever witnessed this before, you know, you could walk in the ocean, there's a little bit of a dip there, and if you go out a little further, and they go up on a sandbar. And sometimes that sandbar is good ways out there. I remember my dad, I couldn't go out there. It was too deep for me, and he carried me. And it might be up to here to him. I'd get a little scared. But once he got up there on the ground, I mean, that was kind of cool. You know, you might be, I don't know, 100 yards off the beach. Let me tell you what God says, regardless of how deep you want to go, I'll be with you. I'll take care of you. I'll hold you. You won't go under. You won't drown. Rivers to swim in. Spiritual rivers. How deep do you want to go? You want to go to your ankles, your knees, your loins? Lord, I don't want to go any further. I don't believe God will allow us to do that. His desire is for us to go as far as he can allow us to give us the grace to swim in. Rivers that cannot pass over. Paul says, don't look at things that are temporal. Tomorrow we're all going to wake up and the news is going to have all kinds of things. I haven't heard the news any today, but I guess the government shut down, right? No, they didn't shut down yet? See, I haven't even...
6 weeks, the carrying is over.
But that's a fear. We're worried about the government shutting down. Mm-hmm. And if they do or whatever, and as Sister Karen this morning or a little bit ago mentioned all these disasters everywhere all over the world, yeah. Problems. And they are. They can be discouraging. But help us, Lord, not to look at things that are temporal, but things that are spiritual. Spiritual things that increase. See, God's got all those things under control. Thank God we need to have that thought in our mind. See, I've had people tell me, if there is a God in heaven, why doesn't he take care of a lot of these things? Well, I have to leave some things with God. And I have to keep my eyes fixed on God that I make heaven my home. Are you looking at spiritual things? Or temporal things. May the Lord bless you as we have a song.
Let's open our song book and turn to page 385. Page 385.
There's a place for quietness near to the God of God, a place where sin can normalize, near to the heart of God. Oh, dear blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Savior meet near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God. Oh, God, who way before thee, near to the heart of God. Place the full relief near to the heart of God, a place where all is joy and peace near to the heart of God. Oh, Jesus, blessed Redeemer, sent from the heart of God.
There's a place, full release. Thank the Lord.